That's okay. My name is Ruth, and I'm an alcoholic. I have fans here, yeah. Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandson. God, it's good to be here. And I've had a hell of a time this weekend. But there's a little confession I must make before I start. When Bud asked me to come here, and then he told me the meeting that I was going to share at, I want you to know he screwed up. I said, what one? He said, the Sunday morning spiritual meeting. I said, oh, no. Oh, and I want you to know I was nervous, and I was up in my room this morning trying to get very spiritual. And it didn't work. So as I came down the elevator, God said, you tell it exactly the way it is and who you are. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love being sober. And I learned that from an old sponsor of mine. And I want to thank the committee for their gracious service. And I want to thank Bud for making me a nervous wreck for this meeting. But most of all, I want to say welcome to the new ones. Welcome to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous works, and it works good. And the only reason I know it works and it works good, newcomer, is number one, I'm standing up here sober and clean. And I got some dear friends sitting out here sober and clean. So I know this thing works. And I'm also not so stupid this morning to think every last one of you sitting in this room is going to benefit by me standing up here. No way, not even close. So we got to take care of this too. But I also know that my God didn't send me in vain. He sent me in order that maybe that I talk to that one individual in this room this morning that needs to hear something that I have to say. Now the rest of you, gotta take care of it, will probably learn a whole hell of a lot of patience, tolerance, and some understanding as I get through with this. And you know, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says this to me, and I won't quote the page because I don't know it. Like the speaker last night, crack me up. Crack me up. But it's around chapter 5. Right? I do know that. Says this to me. And I must tell you a little bit of what it was like, what happened, and how I live today. And oh, thank God, it says in a general way, believe me, newcomer, that saves you up here. So the story I'm telling you this morning is as nice as I can get it for you. I call it cleaning it up a bit. Because you see, very early in my life, I was a rebel from the word get. I was one of these type kids, if my mother told me to go south, I immediately turned around and went north without even thinking about it. And I guess I had a pretty typical mom that used to sit home and she preached pretty typical things to her daughters, and this one did. She used to sit home and say things like, be a nice girl. Go to school and study. When you get of age, you marry a nice guy and you move off to the suburbs and bake cookies. Now that didn't sound interesting to me at all. At the age of 11 years old. Now I was born and raised in East Los Angeles. And I'm here to tell you this morning that East Los Angeles didn't have a darn thing to do with my drinking. Even though I got a little homeboy right here this morning. Right? Yeah. You know. Yeah. Keep coming back home. But at this early age, I used to go home and I used to watch gangster movies on TV. So I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to grow up and become a gangster because it sounded more interesting than baking cookies. Now, they didn't have no good old gangsters like they had on that TV, but I picked me the closest thing that I can find to it at this time. I joined my first gang at the age of 11 years old. And the initiation to that gang that day was I had to drink a fifth of white port and lemon juice. Good stuff, you got it. Hold on a minute, we'll fix to identify any minute now. All right? Yeah. That stuff burnt going down, and it burnt coming up again. But I chug a lug till it stayed down. Now, I don't know what happened to anybody else that day that was being initiated. But I do know what happened to me. Between the top and the bottom of that bottle, I fell in love. And I didn't fall in love with, gee, what a cute bottle this is in. Or I like the color of this stuff. I fell in love what it did in my gut. It filled that big hole that I had right smack in the middle of my gut, and it filled up all my fears, and it filled up all my insecurities, and I stood up straighter, and I looked at the gal next to me, and I said this, where are we going? And who are we going with? Because I was ready to live. Now, I wasn't a daily drinker at this time, and I hadn't discovered those morning drinks. I was one of these Friday, Saturday, and Sunday drinkers, and whenever I can get my hands on it. Now, I've had a few people ask me dumb questions. Even in Alcoholics Anonymous, they've asked me a few dumb questions. And this usually falls around the Kansas area. No offense. Someone will slip up to me and say something like, how did you acquire alcohol at the age of 11 years old? Now we know. I said, very simple. We stood on corners by liquor stores and you hit on people going in and out of there, and eventually somebody's going to come by and buy you a bottle. But do you know I had bad days even then? Somebody would come by and rip me off for my booze or my money. And with all my heart, to this very morning, I believe it was alcoholics that did that to me. Yeah. And it's around this time I kind of glanced the room. Because if any of you have ever been in the East Los Angeles area some many years back and ripped off an 11-year-old kid, you can make amends to me after this meeting's over. Yeah. I really watched when they were counting down from 50 to 30. Those, I watched them. Had an odd sister born into the family. Odd. Used to claim to my mom they gave us the wrong baby in the hospital. Had to be the wrong baby. She was the nicest, gentlest, soft-spoken lady you ever laid eyes on. She went to school and got A's on her report card. She went to mass twice on Sundays. And she learned to bake them little crappy cookies. Right? But I never forgot my parting with her when she came home with her husband-to-be, and they're already engaged to be married. And I come strolling in at this time with my hip slit cool self. Remember that one, huh, homie? Huh? Huh? And I come strolling across that living room, and this guy is sitting in our living room couch with a crew cut on his head. A pair of Ivy League pants on and white shoes. White shoes. Square, square. I think he was from San Bernardino. Right? And I remember grabbing this sister and I hauled her in that bedroom and I gave her up my famous lecture. Are you crazy? You're going to marry this guy, move out to the suburbs and be miserable for the rest of your life. Now she got a strange look on her face that she got every time that I talked to her. I didn't understand that till I got to you. Huh? Well, thank God she didn't listen to me. Because to this very morning, right now, she's still out in them suburbs baking cookies, right? And that beautiful husband with those white shoes has just passed on after many years of marriage. But no way, shape, form did Ruth want to screw her life up like that, right? Uh-uh. I wasn't going for that cookie stuff. Right? I want fast living and fast cars and fast men. Right? So I went on as running as hard and as fast as I can run now. And again, newcomer, it took me some years in Alcoholics Anonymous to figure out who in the hell I was running from. You see, I was running from me all them years. I never, ever wanted me to catch up with me. It was too painful. So I was always very busy with my finger pointed out at everybody else. His fault, their fault, and down the line I can go. But it was never my fault. It was your fault. So I went on a hell of a run. Around the age of 18 years old, my friends started marrying off. And I didn't want to be left out. So I looked around this neighborhood. I found me the hippest, slickest, coolest dude I can get to marry me at the time. And me and him were going to go low riding off into the sunset. Had a little problem with reality, you know. I love what my sponsor says. I got a beautiful sponsor up in Blythe. And she said she used to think that was terminally cool until she found out it was psychosis. Right? After a few months of marriage, this man started screaming. He started screaming about things I didn't understand. He started talking about when are you going to wash, when are you going to cook, when are you going to wash them. Then his next words completely threw me. He says, you know, you don't drink like a lady. And I said, well, how do ladies drink? He says, ladies drink out of a glass. Not out of a bottle like you. You see, I needed this information, right? I got to share you this because it ran through my head. I remember once in Alcoholics Anonymous when I was brand new, they handed me the 20 questions. And on one of the 20 questions it says, do you resort to lower companions and in an inferior environment due to drinking? I cracked up. I was the lower companion in inferior environment. I said, hello. Yeah. This marriage dissolved and dissolved very quickly after this. But I had one son. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I love my son. And I love my son like a mother loves a child, and I held this little one close to me. And I felt love for that little one, Nguyen. And I made a statement in that hospital that I meant with all my heart. I said, everything in the world there is to give, I'm going to try to give it to you. But you see, I didn't know. I did not know I was afflicted with the disease of alcoholism and also drug addiction, and that I would get progressively worse. I always thought I would get better. My famous cries throughout my life till I came through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous went like this. Tomorrow, remember those? I'm going to get myself together. I'm going to get myself together because, see, I don't need nobody else to help me. I'll do it myself. That false pride. False pride. And my next cry went like this. If they would only just leave me alone and let me drink, everything would be okay. You know how they try to give you all that damn information before you go out to drink? You heard the speaker last night say butter? They ate butter before they went out to drink, drank olive oil, some... I tried all that mess, bliss. Yeah. I took that little boy to places you don't take children. I subject my family to things you don't take children to. And I didn't know what the hell was the matter. All I knew is I didn't want to be sober. Alcohol was the love of my life. I protected, lied, cheat, steal, anything to keep it in my life. And I went on a hell of a run. It was around this time I left this marriage and I met another man that passed through my life, and God, was this guy cool. Oh, this guy was really cool. Kind of looked like he was in the state of rigor mortis. Yeah. I like that. So I took to living with him. And I found out one thing real quick about him. He wasn't too cool in the morning. He was real nervous and twitching, and his nose ran a lot. He had a bad cold. You'll catch him right now. He would go into that bathroom, and when he came out of the bathroom, he was cool. And his cold was gone. Now, it didn't take Rube too long to figure out that whatever he had in the bathroom, I wanted some. Now, I don't know what it is, but I want it. Because anything that makes anybody that cool, I want. So I took the bug in and bugged him long enough, went into the bathroom, sat in the bathroom, took a fix of heroin with me. Now, for those of you that don't like to hear about drugs, this is a short part of my story, and it's very short. But I will share it anyway, because I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I am an alcoholic. You did not see me say an alcoholic and a. I am an alcoholic. And I will share a little of my drug parts. Just for those of you that think that maybe you don't have a drinking problem because of the other stuff, forget it. Got it? My alcoholism covered it all. Right? I went on a hell of a run, and I jumped into that like I jump into anything. I went ripping and running and shooting and anything I can get my hands on. And it was at this particular time in my life I went in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, and a few more in and out of jail. Now, I don't know what anybody in this room this morning feels about jail, but I can now give you my honest feelings about jail. There was many times they came to knock my doors down and haul me away. I wanted to kiss them and tell them, what took you so long to get me this time? Because I knew it was the only place on earth at that time through the 60s where I would go get physically cleaned up, get myself back together, get back on the streets, and start this mess all over again. And I did that for years, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. But newcomer, I never ever, dear God, never let me forget the last half. And I'm going to share you loud and clear why I do not want to forget where I came from. And I want to tell you loud and clear, yes, yes, there was days I do want to forget. There's days I want to climb off the podium. I don't want to share. It's over. That's it. I want to clean the story up more just off this part. Take out that part. Tell you a nicer story. And this is as nice as I can get it. But God bless the old timers that I sobered up with. Some of these old guys here might remember. The Gusses, the Ottos, the Don Pilas. Yeah. Them old timers that piss you off, though. You know, you've seen them. You know those ones that walk around saying, read the book. They hurt your feelings. Yeah. They say bad things to you. When you go up to them and say something like, well, I feel guilty. They say, don't worry about it. You are guilty. Those guys. And I miss them. Because they passed on with continuous sobriety in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, because Alcoholics Anonymous works and works good. And their biggest scream was simplicity. Keep it simple, stupid. Ooh. And this is what they told me. You forget where you come from, you better get ready because you're going to go back. And I said, oh, no, I don't want to go back there. They said, no, you don't have to live in it. Just never forget it. So the person I'm going to talk about for the next couple of minutes is an animal. This is the one I don't want to kind of clean out of here. Alcohol and drugs took its toll in my life. I did not trust one living human being walking on the face of this earth. And when you ran with people like I ran with, you don't trust. And at this particular time, they had sent me to a place called CRC, the California Rehabilitation Center in Narco, to rehabilitate me for the second time. While I was in that institution, I hurt somebody pretty badly, and I am not proud. No way proud. And one of the things they didn't tolerate in that institution was violent people, and I was very violent. So they shipped me from that institution, and they shipped me to a place called CIW Women's Penitentiary. And when the women's penitentiary, they had a place to put incorrigible, smart mouths like me. And after a lot of lockdowns and a lot of hate and a lot of resentments and jaw clenching and bleeding ulcers, they let me out of that penitentiary. And I drove into L.A. and I completely, with all of my life, swore off I'll never touch another drug because I don't want to be doing it. So I walked into the nearest bar. I ain't no alky, right? Well, no problem with that. If I don't use that other stuff, I'll be just fine. So I walk into that bar and I order me one drink. What's one drink going to do to me? Just one. You know that one new one that we want to take the edge off? You know the one that unclenches your jaws? And you can dance, right? And you can sit on that bar stool and become a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist. Tell people about their marital problems and how to raise their kids. Fresh out of the pen. That drink. Alcohol did not leave my life till I came through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was around this time that my family made a big, serious mistake. And I claim to this morning, it's the biggest mistake they ever made. You see, my mom got too old to take care of my children. And my mom sent 5 children home to a full-blown alcoholic. Full-blown. This part of my story right now is hearsay. I hope they told me the truth. Because this was told to me. Because I'm a black-out, gun-waving drunk. So the children told me what happened. I don't know if they went to school or not to school. I know the oldest one jumped freight trains to break the seals on the freight trains and steal food to feed them. They told me that. They got to stop bringing them live chickens they were bringing home, though. Yeah. I didn't do that. And I waved guns, and I don't know what happened the night before, but I know when I come to the deadly fear of what I had done, and I didn't know, and my house is quiet, quiet, and you can hear a pin drop, and I don't know where these children are, and I don't know if they are alive or if they're dead, and I'm fearful, and I get up. And I crawl through the hallway, and I open the door to their room, and I count feet because I can't look in because of that deadly fear. And I go in the bathroom to take my morning drink and start this shit and mess all over again. And it was around this time, and I believe it with all my heart, to this very, very morning, that God stepped into my life, and it was through a power greater than me. And he helped, did for me what I could not do for my own self. And the first event that happened is they came in the very early morning with the county welfare department. And they had court orders to remove the children. And this maniac mother, I don't have to tell you the condition I was in. You know the condition I was in. And I'm here to tell you this morning, loud and clear, there's no way on God's earth to be hip, slick, and cool when you're dying. And I was now dying. This maniac mother ran out into the driveway as they started to haul the five children away. My oldest boy was looking out the back window of the car. Now, I've seen many looks out for the killing, because I was too chicken to do it. I went home and I drank and I drank and I drank and I drank, because I wanted alcohol to kill me. And I couldn't get sober and I couldn't get drunk. And now my best friend, alcohol, stopped working. Stopped. I called that hell. I went into a dirty bathroom to blow my head off, and I failed at my own suicide. And in that dirty bathroom floor, all alone, before I heard of a program called Alcoholics Anonymous, I made my very first surrender. And I'm here again this morning, loud and clear, to tell you, it's easy to surrender when you're backed up against the wall. And I screamed out the word, God help me. Now this power moved very strangely with me, because I was very strange. Some nights later, some people ventured over too drunk to drive. I know the higher power sent those people. And I drove their car that night. And I ended up back in the county jail for women on the first and only at that time called 502. That kind of tells you how old I am, too. When I got physically healthy, I was laying on a bunk one night, and over the intercom they announced, AA in the dining room. Now, with all this wisdom I had learned from the streets, and at that particular time, I was pretty streetwise, not today, I poked a bunkie of mine and said, what the hell is American Airlines doing in this place? And with all her wisdom, she said, I don't know. I said, they must be hitting rock bottom for stewardesses, right? So, of course, you know, it turned out to be Alcoholics Anonymous. And four nice ladies dressed up like this. We're in the front with the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I don't know what they were talking about. They were talking strange stuff, like sober and day. And I looked at them from the outside. Of course not inside, outside. And I said, forget it. They're not going to let us in that organization, because we're not too cute for stuff. No way, forget it. So I left there with good intentions. I'm not going to get drunk like that, because I'm going to do it on my own. 3 months later, I was a disaster, living with a mattress on the floor, Viva la Raza, across the ceiling. Still can't figure that one out. And the landlord had offered me $100 to move out as soon as possible. Things were looking up, money was coming. When God blessed that gal, I dealt with God love her. Somewhere during that meeting, she caught, not I did, she did, that you can make a phone call to Alcoholics Anonymous. So she phoned. And that night, God love them, two people came down on what you call a 12-step call. And they started toting us up to these funny meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know what happened? My finger came up. And I would sit as far back in the group as I can get. And I would go take all their inventories. All of them. Look at that one. He sold, he ought to stop drinking. And God bless my old home group. God loved them. They tolerated me. From a distance, they said, keep coming back. And I did. And they told me things like, that's your chair, you owned, you earned it. I took that literally. I wouldn't let nobody sit on my chair. I earned it, it's mine. Sick. And I kept coming back, and then I got one of those funny things called a one-year And I thought they were silly, but I said, I'd do it anyway, right? And I went up there, and they gave me, and I blew out my candle. And then you know what they did? They took my cake. Took it in the front and started cutting it. I was pissed. I went out there and told them, what are you doing? They said, we're cutting the cake. I said, no, that's my cake. They said, no, we share. I said, I don't share. You share, not me. And they loved me. Selfish, self-centered. They loved me. Then God decided, not me, I needed one of those funny things called a sponsor. Didn't want one. I watched them sponsors going, But God knew what kind of sponsor I needed at that particular time in my sobriety. One that got my attention by cussing at me. And the sponsor did it very well. So little by little and inch by inch, I started to grow through the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I did not grow through leaps nor bounds. I probably would have leaped right out of here. But I grew very slowly, very painful, and a little at a time, and you gave me a bite size at a time. You didn't tell me, oh, you got to change your attitude immediately. You said, keep coming back one day at a time. And this too shall pass. And then you said things like, bring the body. The mind will catch up later. I'm still waiting. I don't know if you told me the truth about that one yet. But like I said, little by little, a lot of 12 steps. I love the 12 steps of alcohol. I didn't love them then. But I do today. One day I was 2 years sober, 2 years. And I got a phone call after a meeting one night. And they said, hey, I've been keeping an eye on you. And I said, that's okay today, you can do that. They said, no, you don't understand. We're going to return your children. All five of them at the same time. You notice you can get happy? Glad they belong to her. I got scared to death. I ran to that sponsor. Thank God for sponsors. Yeah. And you know how sponsors are. They let you rant and rage. You tell them all the stuff you can't do. What's a parent? I don't know how to be a parent. Oh my God. I don't know what, I don't have a clue what a parent is. And they sit there. And when you get done, they punch you between the eyes with something. And you go, oh. And this one did. Said, now, you take everything you've gathered in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, every piece of it, and you take a chapter called The Family Afterwards, and you take it home with you. God, isn't it so easy to work Alcoholics Anonymous during meetings? Yeah, we get spiritual. Hug the new one. Shake hands. Go home and want to kill the family. They're pissing me off now. So little by little, and inch by inch, we started to grow as a family. We did not grow through leaps or bounds, because alcoholism is a family disease. And I started running them off to Alateen, Alitot, and thank God if there would have been a dog, it would have been Doggy Tot, right? Then God decided one day, not me, he decided this, that we were going to move to the suburbs. At that time called Hacienda Heights. And I moved deeper now to the suburbs because that got rowdy for me now. Huh? And this family started to grow. And then I started to do strange little things. You got it. I knew you would. You're getting sharper now, right? I started to bake cookies. But I gotta be honest. Because my family sits in here this morning. And they'll tell you. I baked them hard so they didn't ask too very often for cookies. So if any of you need that recipe, see me. It works. But because time is short, I want to share you the difference. A lot of growth, a lot of love, a lot of Alcoholics Anonymous surrounded the family, surrounded us. You became our family. I'm going to share you some stories of growth. Yeah, I'm going to tell. My daughter hates this story, and when she decided to come here, I said, I'm going to tell it. I want you to know she sits to the left. She has on a white t-shirt. The kids can hear. You know, God put us in the suburbs, and my beautiful daughters came to me one night and said, "Hey, Mom, we like to join the Girl Scouts." And I said, "Why not?" So I took them down, and I brought them the strangest-looking green uniforms you ever laid eyes on. Then when I got them home, this is what they laid on me. "Now we need a Girl Scout leader in our school, Mom." Back up. Mm-mm. Now my first reactions to the children was, "No, that's dead. What if somebody sees me?" You got to be very cautious, and I mean cautious, with children that get around Alcoholics Anonymous. If you don't want to stay here, don't bring them. Because they catch things in these meetings real quick. It don't look like they're catching stuff, but they are. And then they take it home, and they use it. They threw it back at me. "Oh, Mom, you could do it one day at a time." So there I went up and down mountains with 40 giggling Girl Scouts. And I wanted to call them the Mafia Troop. She decided it should be the Yellow Butterfly. She'd been around Al-Anon people too long. Going to that Al-Anon, see, because they took care of her. But I got to be real honest with you. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Girl Scouts of America de-hit me. I started to become a square and do silly things, and I loved it. Right? But I'm now going to share you the difference. I'm going to share you a tradition this young family started. Each and every Christmas time, and every last one of them put a 30-day chip on their Christmas tree. They started in our family first, and now that they have their families and they moved on, now they put the 30-day chips on the top of their Christmas tree. And I asked them one day, "Why are they doing that?" And it couldn't be the fancy one. It had to be the white poker chip 30-day one. That big one, right? That one. And I asked them one day, and they said, "Because of what God had given to us in that family bed." And I was internally grateful to you. My oldest son, who saw every rotten, filthy thing I'd done, had the right to hate my guts, chose to love me. I found out in Alcoholics Anonymous, love is a gift. Not to be used or abused, but a very precious gift to hold close to your heart. And that son gave me that gift. And I'm going to share you what my son wrote while he was serving in the armed forces in Germany. He wrote, "Thank you. Thank you for teaching me right from wrong. Thank you for the years you have reunited us as a family. But most of all, give my thanks, and I give you my thanks today, for giving us back to you. You gave me my family back. Not to be hurt, but to be cherished. And these children, started to grow straight and strong, not warped and crooked, straight and strong because of what I found in Alcoholics Anonymous, what you gave to us. Don't ask me why today, because I don't know why not one of those children drink or get loaded. I don't know why. I don't even question it. I don't even play with it. I just leave it alone. I've had people walk up and say stupid shit like, do they have the ism? I said, I don't even go there. Right? I don't do that. I don't put labels on nothing. Right? My oldest son now lives in Española, New Mexico, and he will be running for mayor of that town. Yeah, quite a difference, huh? My daughter now, that one that started that Girl Start crap, right? Now moved to the beautiful suburbia town of San Bernardino. My middle son sits in this meeting. The one that was hurt bad from alcoholism loves his mommy today. He couldn't get here fast enough just to sit. And I told him, no, babe, you don't have to come. He said, no, it's important. I had told him to go ahead with his beautiful wife and family to go ahead home because one of the babies didn't feel too good. He said, I have to see the miracle in the faces again this morning. The miracles, what was done to us, newly, given to us freely, not a price tag, free. And then God decided to present me with 13 grandbabies. And I'm one hell of a grandma. One hell of a grandma today. I get to kiss them, I get to spoil them, and then I send them home. And then I wire them up on candy for Halloween. And I split. And I love them because they allow me the right to be a grandma. But new one. Today I'm going to share with you that I walk with the dignity of a lady and I know peace inside of my guts. And I had looked for that in the bottom of a bottle and the end of a needle and I couldn't find it. I found my God as I understand God in these rooms. And I'm going to tell you right where I found him. I found him right in the corner of your eye. You get a crazy little twinkle and a gleam right in the corner of that eye. And I found my God as I understand God in these rooms. And I walk with dignity and I walk with peace, not free of problems. God allowed me the right to be human through the 12 steps. Not free. But I have the tools of Alcoholics Anonymous to be able to walk through anything today that comes into my life for a teaching or for growth. I walk in the sunshine of the Spirit and I know peace, no matter how far I had went down. And I'm here to tell you, newcomer, you grab a hold. You grab a hold of that thing called the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous will not stir you up. And you tuck it close to you. And you put a little love beside you. And you'll stay here. You don't let no one in Alcoholics Anonymous even run you out of here. They didn't run me out. And they wanted to a few times. But I earned that chair. So hang on to that chair, new one. Find a little love. Because the greatest love and the greatest gifts and the greatest miracles sit in this room this morning. Sit in this room and many rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous throughout the world and throughout the country. I love Alcoholics Anonymous and I love being sober. Because on the December 26, 1972, you did not tell me to get out. You did not say, we don't like the color of your skin. We don't like the way you're dressed. We don't like the way you talk. You said, if you have a problem, come with us. Come with us and stay with us. And we'll show you a brand new way of living. Brand new. If you're sitting next to an alcoholic this morning, reach out and touch him because you have touched a miracle. Thank you, and I want to thank the committee. God bless. Keep coming back.